It's Marketplace Tech for Monday the 15th. I'm Ben Johnson. Today, a service from General Motors called Maven will release a fleet of cars in 75 parking spots around New York City. Not self-driving yet, but they are rentable by the hour and being marketed to a generation of city dwellers who aren't really interested in car ownership. And the service is all about your smartphone, from the rental itself to what you do once you're on the road. Maven is already in a bunch of other cities around the country: Orlando, Denver, Chicago, San Francisco, etc. Peter Kosak is executive director of GM's Urban Mobility Programs. Peter, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
The thing most New Yorkers will think of course, here is the competition, Zipcar, right? How are you different from Zipcar?
I think in a couple of respects. One of them is that essentially you access the vehicles completely with your smartphone. You can unlock the doors, push the start button in the car, drive it, and return it all from your smartphones. And then beyond that, all of the cars have Apple CarPlay and Android Auto, so you use the natural voice rec that you're used to with your smartphone, you know, talking to Siri or saying, "Hey, Google."
GM has to be looking at the self-driving car future and getting a little bit nervous about what that looks like when you're trying to sell cars to people still. Is this GM moving into trying to sell itself as a transportation service? And are you worried that you're not far enough along yet?
No, I would say we're more excited than nervous. And I would say also that, you know, shared autonomous vehicles is, you know, certainly a huge opportunity area, especially in congested urban environments. The opportunity for them to let that vehicle to others and make income off it, but have it for their own use when they want to use it, that's a real possibility. So we think that the idea of fractional ownership could really come into being in this environment as well.
Peter Kosak, he's executive director of GM's Urban Mobility Programs. Peter, thank you very much.
Thank you, Ben. Really appreciate it.
Last week, we had some big cybersecurity news. For one, President Trump signed a long-awaited cybersecurity executive order asking branches of government to report on their security challenges with the goal of protecting them from hacking attacks. And then, as if to demonstrate the very reason for doing this kind of thing, dozens of countries around the world were hit with a malicious ransomware hacking attack. From Japan to Russia to England, computer systems of all kinds had their files encrypted and a Bitcoin ransom was demanded. Hospital computer systems were hit particularly hard. Here to talk about all of this news is Lee Honeywell, who is a technology fellow at the ACLU. Lee, thanks for chatting. Let's start with the executive order.
Hi, it's great to be talking with you. So having read through the executive order, there's a number of requests for specific agencies to deliver reports within 90 or in some cases 180 days about the specific vulnerabilities and threats that they're facing. There's quite a bit more technical depth than the leaked version of the EO that we'd seen a few weeks back.
So it sounds like the executive order is asking for an accurate description of the problem, but maybe not a systematized solution.
Well, there's no silver bullets in this stuff, right? The way that we move the needle in terms of cybersecurity practices is to first address the low-hanging fruit of are people patching their servers? Are they installing security updates, getting adequate resources?
So Lee, let's talk about the ransomware attack here. Maybe a security bug discovered by actually the NSA and then leaked by hackers who got a hold of it, and it's a vulnerability in older Microsoft software?
The particular vulnerability that this ransomware used to get onto people's computers was patched back in March.
Uh-huh.
And in this case, the vulnerability that had been fixed in Windows, because from the sounds of it, someone had tipped off Microsoft that this was going to be released. And Microsoft quietly patched it, but people haven't installed the patch. Malicious actors have been able to take that like high quality bug and just go to town, like across the world, targeting everything from hospitals. FedEx was targeted in the United States.
So what does this tell us, that organizations and governments really need to be proactive about their security hygiene and protecting themselves with software updates, or what?
This isn't the sort of jokey malware that we would have seen in like the 90s, where it would just like pop up a silly picture on your screen or something. Or, and it's not even that it's wiping your computer, right? It's literally holding your computer for ransom. So there's a direct economic motivation to be doing like quite a good job at writing malware. And it also speaks to the level of danger involved in these offensive cyber operations, right? This is literally impacting doctors' ability to care for their patients across the UK. My hope is that this is going to cause intelligence agencies to reassess how they prioritize, how long to hold on to these bugs, be more proactive about notifying vendors about them, and consider like reducing the lifespan during which they are using them.
Lee Honeywell, she is technology fellow at the ACLU. Lee, thank you very much for talking about this stuff with us.
It's been great talking with you. Thanks a lot.
I guess this is a reminder to update your software early and often. Also, we have a whole podcast episode about software updates. It is great. You can find it at codebreaker.codes. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.